What's up, Ninja Gamer Nation? This is episode 31 of the Ninja Gamer Cast. We're recording. It's almost noon. It's on a Sunday. It's January 4th of 2015. So this is the first podcast of this year. So we survived. We survived the holidays. Oh my god, it's crazy. It's funny because I didn't even party. I wish I could, but you know, being a father, you know, you can't. Can't really do these things anymore. Sad. Anyway, so I'm Brandon, the editor, founder, etc. So we'll go around and introduce everybody else, because you know we have new fans and some that may forget who is who and stuff like that. So so today I'm joined by Carl, Chris, and Dimmy. So if you guys could introduce yourselves.
I'm Carl, also known as RPGN Boss. I have a sore throat today, so I'm going to be a little bit raspy.
Hey guys, I'm Chris. I'm one of the writers and reviewers, and hi.
And hi, I'm Timmy. I'm the managing editor of Niche Gamer.
We all sound so damn tired. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Today's kind of the culmination of that 2-week holiday period that was full of shit.
Yeah, it was certainly interesting because, you know, there was a definite drought of news, of course, because everybody takes off for the holidays, and, you know, not us, we kept fucking publishing stuff. It's ridiculous, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't say that, we got this, Exceed, there's 4 articles out, so that was something,
yeah. Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. That was crazy. I felt like when that broke, we were at the right place at the right time. I put those out. So when I saw the first one break, which was from hold on. Let's get to that. I'll start talking about the news. So anyway, this is the niche news of the week. So it's in no order, you know, per se. It's, you know, we feel like these are all worth talking about. So first up, it's Gravity Rush 2, which it was an interesting thing. You know, this came up. A fan asked the Ask PlayStation thing, or rather he asked Shu Yoshida, you know, hey, is Gravity Days 2 being developed, and if so, is it being on PlayStation Vita? So he got a response a couple days later from Ask PlayStation saying, yes, it's being developed for PlayStation Vita, and, you know, the internet lost its shit. I wrote about it. Our fans were losing their shit. It was awesome. And then I had a lingering doubt that somebody fucked up, and you know, it was a response made in error, and a day or two later, Ask PlayStation was like, oh, sorry, misunderstood your question, thought you were talking about the first game, and they said, for the second game, you know, there is no confirmed platform, but the key thing with that response, though, was that they actually said, but for the sequel, there's no confirmed platform. So they actually call it a sequel. So it's not a PS4 port of the original, some bullshit like that. They're actually calling it a sequel. So it actually is going to be a follow-up where you learn more about Kat's story. Because, if you played the game, not going to spoil it because it's an awesome game. You know, a cliffhanger. There's stuff like you want to know more about Kat and her story. It's a really cool game and a really cool world. So, you know. So there you go.
It still kind of sucks that they came out and said, you know, yes, it's going for Vita, and then kind of redacted the statement without, you know, giving much more information about it at all.
That's one of the things I really hate about traditional games developing and PR and stuff. If it's any kind of company that has a traditional background in games development, they love to hold their cards to their chest, you know, and they're like, no, we're not going to talk about it. We don't comment on rumor or speculation. And it's like, oh my God, like, God, stop being tools and just friggin' talk about it, you know? Like, the same thing happens when stuff is leaked and everybody knows that it's real, but for some reason they're just like, no, we're not going to talk about it until the suits, you know, back in Japan approve us talking about it, you know, stuff like that. And it's just infuriating.
Well, I mean, I understand when they want to keep the details of the game, you know, confidential. But, I mean, come on, the platform that it's on.
Yeah, the whole reveal for that was really weird, you know. And a lot of people attribute it to the Vita, you know, floundering and not doing that well. And they're trying to dance around the fan outrage that'll come out if it's a PS4-only game. If it is, that's pretty shitty, you know. If it's PS4 Vita, then that's okay. It's a compromise, but who knows what the hell's gonna happen.
Why do platforms that are good always become the ones that quote-unquote flounder? I mean, I had a Game Boy and a Lynx, and I'm actually gonna get called out for this, but I like the Lynx better than the Game Boy. And I had a Game Gear. I love the Game Gear better than my Game Boy. Every handheld that I liked, that I preferred, ended up floundering. I wonder why that is.
It's because they make great hardware and then don't support it with good software. That's what it always comes down to.
But in the Vita's case, it does have good software.
It does. Just people refuse to give their software the recognition it deserves, I think. And it is fairly niche. They don't have any, you know, what people would consider the big selling games on it, really.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, God knows I'm not hurting for Vita games.
No, me either.
Oh, man. I just had a friend of mine comment on the, I posted some screen caps from this movie that I watched last night. It's a movie that I recommend to everyone on the planet to watch. It's called Naked Ambition 3D. One of the greatest movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Here's two lines of subtitles from it. Monsters will no longer pose threat to human. The more they come, the more we fuck. So,
yeah, I saw all of your postings about that last night.
Oh my God, it's just so funny. I can't get over how good that movie is. I mean,
looking at the IMDb description of it, I see where you're coming from. It says a sex comedy which parodies the Japanese adult film industry through various iconic scenes with exaggerated expressions. Yes, that sounds like something I'm definitely gonna have to check out.
Yeah, I can give you guys the subtitle. That sounds amazing. Yeah, I can give you guys the subtitle file, because it was really hard to find. I mean, there's just, oh my God, like, I thought it was hysterical. My wife was like, this is dumb, and she turned it off, and I'm like, oh. But then I kept watching it, and it's just so funny. God, I really want to talk about it, but I don't want to ruin stuff. There's this, I'll just mention that there's this guy. His nickname is the Goldfinger, and he's known for his magical prowess with his fingers when fingering women, and so whatever he does, like he can like finger fruit and then the juice shoots out of them. He can finger the earth and then the oceans gush with excitement. You know, it's just, oh my God, it's just so funny. I want to watch it again. It's just fucking hysterical. Anyway, and it's actually a Hong Kong movie. It's made by Hong Kongers, which is really cool. So it's from the perspective of Hong Kongers with the Japanese AV industry. So it's really interesting with that dynamic where, you know, the Japanese adult industry is pretty powerful. People don't realize that. They love to look down upon it, make fun of it and stuff, but, you know, they're doing a job too. So, anyway, moving on. Let me see. So, Square Enix is trademarked Dragon's Dogma Online. Wait, no, that's another article. Did I actually put that on here? No, I didn't. Well, I'll mention that too. So it's actually Capcom with Dragon's Dogma. So Capcom trademarked Dragon's Dogma Online, which is interesting in Japan following the European trademark. I'm going to make a note of that too, because I want to make sure I include it so people don't lose their minds. Dragon's Dogma. But anyway, and Square Enix...
If I recall...
What's up?
They put the trademark in Japan first, but it came out second,
yes,
publicly.
You're right. Yep, you're right, actually.
As a Dragon's Dogma fan, I really love the game on the PS4. I really wish they would work on bringing the game to the PC or even redoing it so it had a decent frame rate instead of trying to make it online. Or even make a sequel that had a decent frame rate. Because as much as I love that game, it really dropped a lot of frames. It was a very... I don't want to say laggy because that's incorrect, but it was a very skippy kind of... You know what I mean. It's one of those games that ran very slow, and I found it to be very hard to control my character at times.
Yeah. I hope they do well with this one and don't just make it like some kind of crappy mobile game, because I love Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, it was really the Japanese Skyrim. I personally like it better than Skyrim. I think it was an extremely underrated game, and it really deserves to. It deserves a better showing than that game did, because you have it was great, but it was really held back by poor performance. If it was on the PC, not to be a PC gamer master race guy, but if it was on the PC, we could have had a decent frame rate. Just saying.
Man, if it was on PC, there would have been so many mods to make that game look beautiful. Like, I loved the style, but the graphics weren't all that great.
Let's move on. Let me see. So, Jesus, hold on. Keep getting notifications with our Twitter account. So Mevius Final Fantasy has some official artwork and stuff like that, and the the protagonist is interesting. His outfit, it looks like something you'd see in an AV movie. am I right? I think I'm pretty spot on with that.
At the same time, though, that outfit isn't that crazy to come from a Final Fantasy game. At least not in my mind.
It's true. I think his outfit is actually a modern like a modern recreation of what the old Final Fantasy characters' outfits would look like, if that makes sense, because a lot of them would be wearing, like, you know, like leotards and crazy like skin tight suits with armor and stuff, like, you know, all kinds of crazy designs that you would see in some of the concept art or the 2D art, but not in game. And then to see it,
yeah, and they also had those curves that, like, the curves in his armor where they go into little almost like horns. That's just like the armor that you would see in, like, Cecil in Final Fantasy IV in a lot of the art they draw of him. Who is that guy, Amano, who drew all those Final Fantasy games? That's the way he drew.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it looks cool. People are like, bah, mobile.
From now on, I'm calling him the Vision.
What's up?
From now on, I'm calling him the Bitchin and Beauty.
That's funny. What's the name? It's like a derogatory name for chubby Japanese women who are fujoshi, I think, that are into
No, that's dirty. Yep. They're supposed to be dirty women who are into, like,
yaoi,
man on man porn.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's funny.
Like, if you remember Karino from My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute, she would be a Fujoshi. Matter of fact, they did an episode I remember in that series where she actually was in line waiting for some Iroge game, and she was in there with a bunch of Fujoshi.
That's funny. Hey man, a lot of our fans and readers are women, which is pretty cool. And I think a lot of people they love to be on this high horse, and they like to say, "Oh, I can't believe the pandering, the filth, the filth! I can't believe!" And it's like, there are easily women out there who enjoy this kind of stuff too. It's just that your perception of what they enjoy may not be what they actually enjoy, it's really frustrating because you get these people who love to dictate to other people. It's just zero tolerance at
There's
this
nothing
point.
wrong with Fujoshi. I have nothing wrong with that. I think that's great. I think it's great for anyone that just, like you said before, I think it was you that said on Twitter, we're fighting for our right to fantasize. Whatever you want to fantasize about, hey, go for it.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's, you get the moral police, and they love to just sit there and and condemn other people, and it just makes no damn sense because, what if that one person's main thing they look forward to is getting off to like scat porn or something, like something that most people are not into, but it's there, Take it away from them, and they might just become a sociopath and go into a movie theater and shoot people. Don't know. That's kind of grim dark. Sorry. Moving on. Wii U hardware sales break 8 million worldwide, which is pretty cool. I didn't see this on any other websites for most of the holiday, which is interesting. So it's kind of sad that, a milestone like that was kind of missed. I mean, 10 million would be better, but they're catching up to the Xbox One, which is interesting.
I don't know if I'm going to get one because the only game I want on it is the new Xenoblade, but I think for families, for older gamers that just want something, more family-centric that plays Mario games and things that don't have a lot of violence, it's good. If you don't want a machine like an Xbox or a PlayStation 4, which are essentially, what do they call them? Box tops? The media servers that play video, that access Netflix. I mean, people get those games as a set-top box. But a Wii U is just like a classic gaming machine for the family. At least that's what it looks like to me.
Man, I bought my Wii U for one single game, Monster Hunter. That was the only reason I bought it. And then, of course, now Super Smash Bros. Is probably what pushed it to get that 8 million. That
That's
game is
true.
fantastic, by the way.
It's funny, I ordered a 2DS for myself because I'm fucking tired of my XL. It's just way too goddamn big, and I'm tired of clamshell designs. So I ordered that, and I was like, I should get a new game, because this has been a problem for me because I hate the XL. So my game library for the 3DS has been lacking. So I'm like, and I was checking out. I'm like, I could get Smash Brothers, or I could get Fantasy Life. So, me being the lame-o, always thinking about the website, I'm like, let me get Fantasy Life. I'll review it for the site. It's been out for a little while, but whatever. Not many sites have actually reviewed it, or at least maybe they did, and they just, I've seen some pretty low reviews out there, and I'm like, really? Like a four? Like this game is a four. Like that. That means that it's really bad. That means it's below average. So I feel like doing a review for the site would, hopefully set the record straight. So.
two quick things regarding that. First, I've heard Super Smash Bros. Isn't very good on the 3DS, and people tend to break their system playing it because the amount of frustration involved during... Well, not frustration. Energy going into a game will destroy the joystick that the thing uses.
Yeah.
And secondly, with Fantasy Life, I heard it got really bad reviews, partially because it gets really repetitive really fast and just does not stand up to other games in the genre.
Well, to me, I'm really big into these like sandbox type games like that. So, I've been waiting for a long goddamn time too. Ever way back when it was in 2D, it was being developed by Brownie Brown before, before they became I think were they a subsidiary at that point? Maybe they were. I don't know.
They did a lot of SquareSoft. I always thought they were, like, part of them.
Yeah, it's... I think they're actually part of Nintendo now. It's kind of weird. Or they're... I don't know. It's weird. But they changed their name, and then Fantasy Life resurfaced as a 3D game. And I was like, oh, maybe it's going to finally be released. And then it did. And then I'm like, it's never going to come to America. And then it did. And I'm like, oh, well, Jesus. You know? But I put it off, so... I think it looks fun because it's a mix of multiple sandbox genre games. So we'll see what happens. And I feel the same way about Smash Brothers. I'd rather get a Wii U for it. So anyway, how are we doing on time? About 20 minutes. So let's move on. So here's all the Xseed stuff. Actually, we'll do it like this, yeah. So here's all the Xseed stuff. So Xseed filed registered domains for a bunch of stuff. And the first one to be noticed was actually, I believe, Corpse Party? I think it was Corpse Party, yeah. And there was like several others that were not known at the time. So I wrote about Corpse Party and the Xanadu Next one. Those were the two that were known at the time. So then the thing that's weird is that somebody who does these registrations and stuff can actually block a full domain from being seen from a reverse whois, unless you actually have an account with, you know, said company, and then you pay for it, then you can actually see the full thing. It's kind of like a barrier where they try to hide the names from being found real quick by people who just do this all the time. There's people, that's all they do. They just look for this stuff to see that it is, because the trade practice, you file the domain and then you make the formal announcement later. That's like the big thing now, obviously, so you don't get stuck having to negotiate with some jerk off, but you still have some legal rights. But anyway, so they filed those two domains for Corpse Party Blood Drive and Xanadu Next. The article that I made for Corpse Party gets cited on NeoGAF, so they published that, and the gaffers start talking about it. So then people find the other two domains registered by Xseed. One of them was for, was it Trails? Let me see, hold on. There's Corpse
Party. Senno Kiseki.
Yeah, Senno Kiseki, but the actual...
And Forbidden Magna.
Yeah, the translated name was Trails of Cold Steel. So, a lot of people were like, it can't be Senno Kiseki, because that's like the third game, the third arc, in the follow-up games. But the translation for Senno Kiseki, Silicon Era went with the like direct translation, which was Trails in the Flash. But you can also translate it to a glint, something like that, glint of something, blah blah blah. So it makes sense that Xseed would go with the glint of cold steel, or rather Trails of Cold Steel, because there's actually a song in the game called The Glint of Cold Steel. So So there you go. So that means that game is probably going to get localized. I mean, that's how XE does things and how most companies do. So that's pretty cool. It's a full 3D Trails game, you know, by Falcom. And but the other one that was really interesting that people found was Lord of Magna. So Lord of Magna can only be, you know, at least for most people, most people's opinion, including mine, Forbidden Magna, which is the 3DS RPG that Marvelous put out last year. And for those who don't know, Forbidden Magna is a game developed by most of the former developers from Neverland Company. So that's pretty cool because, you know, they did all of the spin-off Rune Factory games before they went out of business. And supposedly it has middling reviews in Japan, so... but it makes sense for XSEED to localize it anyway because, you know, XSEED is Marvelous' localization studio. Like, people don't realize that. They are owned by Marvelous now, so... it would make sense if the suits are like, hey, let's try recouping some of the money from this game. Localize this shit, you know? So lots of stuff, you know? What do you guys think?
I mean, if the news is right, then I'm totally behind it. But especially with those last two, they could be stretching it with their titles there. I don't know, though.
I think it's kind of sad that it was somewhat leaked. Well, not really leaked, but I mean, they had to do these things to register these domains. And then, you know, once you find... one, you know, like, or at least two in this case, people start looking for the others, you know.
I'm fine as long as these games come out either for the Vita or the PC, because I really want to try to migrate away from the PS3. After Zestiria and Persona 5, I'm gonna pack away my last generation consoles and wrap it up.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Xanadu Next is for the PC, at least presumably, because the the only other platform it was put on was the N-Gage, and we all know how that ended up. And,
who would have ever thought playing video games on a phone, right? I think they were just a little bit ahead of their time.
Yeah.
Way ahead of their time.
Oh boy, the wife is up, so... So Forbidden Magna is on the 3DS, and then Corpse Party's on the Vita. So that's, you know, it's interesting. So it's kind of like a nice mix of platforms there. So
Sen no Kisaki is Vita as well.
Oh right. Right, I totally forgot. PS3 and Vita. Yeah, yeah. Alright, cool. So moving on, last couple bits of news. So Hatred was greenlit on Steam. So that was crazy. That happened just after Christmas, I believe. What day was that? That is the 29th. Yeah, it was. I might have been a day late on that, but it was definitely the 28th or the 29th. And so I pointed out how their Facebook had a post from before Christmas, and it had the protagonist standing outside some house, you know, with a Christmas tree, and he has a Molotov cocktail. And the caption said, "On Christmas Eve, you're all easy targets." I laughed when I first saw that. I actually laughed because I think that's fucking funny, you know? And, you know, it's a reminder to me that I feel like people have to lighten up, you know? And so the reaction was really cool. Yeah, people are really supportive of it, so...
I still don't really see the problem. I mean, why... what is there to get pissed about? I don't see any difference between this game and the first Postal, or... what the hell was that other game? Well, I guess... God, I can't remember. Wasn't there another game that did this? Manhunt! That's it, Manhunt. Yeah.
Manhunt.
I mean, if there was such a... there was a bit of an outcry when Manhunt came out, I remember, because that's actually why I bought the game, because I got so interested in it. I ended up not liking it, though. I got, like, halfway through and never finished it. But I don't... It's just like... I think every generation of games, there has to be that one game that everyone bitch and pisses about. And this is that one game. Who knows? It might actually be good. I'm hoping that I can be the one to review it, because I'm dying to.
Well, you know, we'll definitely review it. You know, the developers are really cool. But what's interesting about that kind of mentality where people freak out over these games, you know, Grand Theft Auto V was totally fine. It was, you know, it was critically acclaimed, and it was, you know, championed from the tops of buildings and stuff like that. And then the current gen version comes out that has the first person mode, and all of a sudden it's misogynist, and it's ultra violent, you know. And I'm like, oh my god, just shut up.
You know, you have so much freedom in video games nowadays, not even just in open world games, but in most games in general. You can do pretty much anything you want, even killing NPCs. So, in theory, isn't every game incredibly violent?
It's true, but the thing...
I can kill all the townspeople in Skyrim. I can go load up Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and kill every townsperson except for those few plot-sensitive ones that that they don't let you kill. But, you know, you can even have sex in New Vegas. You can go to hookers. So, any game... We can look at any game... now that gives you even a little bit of freedom, and we can do something violent and horrible in it.
Yeah, I think with one thing that pissed me off about Fallout 3 specifically is the fact that you can't kill the kids, those fucking kids, unless you mod it.
Oh, there's mods that can fix that. Yeah, and there's even a mod that Loon was showing me this a couple weeks ago. I didn't know this existed, but I wasn't surprised. That there's a mod that allows you to eat babies, and you can eat the wombs of women, and there's like pregnant women they put in the game, and
Jesus.
You can eat the uterus and gain hit points from it. And it actually, the guy actually went so far as to draw a uterus for the GUI, so like when you have it in your inventory, it shows a uterus, it shows a baby, and actually shows the picture of the Pit Boy, Vault Boy, Tech Boy, eating a baby.
That's crazy, you know, and you see, that hasn't hit the mainstream gaming news at all, not a word, you know, not a peep. You would think something like that would be, you know, on Fox News, you know, people are frothing at the mouth, oh, I can't believe him, promoting cannibalism and misogyny, you know, and it's like, it's just interesting to me, you know, because some people... are all against censorship, you know, when it suits them, but then when it comes to towing the line and not going across that line, then they're like, okay, we're not gonna have child murder. No, we're not gonna do that.
You know, video games are just a form of, it's just an extension of your imagination, especially with these open-ended games, these open-world games. 50 years ago, people were doing the same thing, only they were sitting in their room drawing pictures in notebooks. Now, instead of drawing a picture of a dude shooting another dude in the face, or, you know, bending some girl over and nailing her, now you're doing it in a game. I mean, it's not necessarily bad, it's just a different way that we work through fantasies and emotions. It doesn't mean you're going to go out and do those things, it's just that everybody has those feelings, and sometimes you know, you have to experiment with them in your mind, if that makes sense.
No, I totally agree.
I can't take people seriously who get up in arms about, you know, fictional entertainment, media, whatever. It's just ridiculous, because we know for a fact that it doesn't affect behavior. And the only reason to be against it after that is because you personally dislike it. And so what? It offends you? Fine, just shut up. Let other people enjoy their games with violence and sex and depravity, you know, whatever. Just leave people alone.
Yeah, but, you know... Well, let me get this last post out, and then we'll move to the topic, which is, it's like kind of tangential to that. Tekken 7's Lucky Chloe is actually coming to the game in North America. So, the too long didn't read version of this, the character was revealed, and she's a Japan-obsessed idol-type character. She's blonde, you know, has like the cat hoodie and stuff like that with the spirit paws and stuff, and you know, and lots of people like her, lots of people didn't like her, and lots of people were so against her that they were basically harassing the Tekken series producer, Katsuhiro Harada. They were actually like being nasty about it, and you know, it was on NeoGAF and etc. People are flipping out over it, and so Harada tweeted out responses to fans saying, okay, you don't like her, then I'll remove her from the American version of the game, and I'll replace her with a bald, hulking space marine, and that's fine. Like, you know, he's taking a jab at NeoGAF and etc. The problem is, people took it seriously, and it started to spread as if it was serious. And I was hounding Bandai PR and Harada himself, and, you know, and I couldn't get a response. And, but he came out recently, and I think, I mentioned this before we recorded, I think he came out, saying flat out, it was a joke, people are nasty trolls and bigots, and that's why I joked about it. I think he said that because IGN ran a story about it, saying that it was true. And, you know, IGN's the biggest gaming site in the world, so if they say it's true, lots of people will believe that it's true, they won't question it, so... You know, so the joke ran its course, unfortunately.
Exactly what are people's problems with a girl in a cat suit anyway? How is that such a bad thing? Her boobs aren't hanging out. She doesn't have snatch revealed. I mean, she's just a girl in a cat suit.
Yeah, I think some people are just really... really like xenophobic, especially to Japan, and it's interesting, especially to us, because you know, we grew up on Japanese games, but then you get this new generation of kids who grew up on Western games, and they look at Japanese games like a completely different and weird thing. And to me, that's weird. Like, I think that's really fucking strange, because you know, I can't remember who said it. If it was one of us or a fan, somebody said that the Japanese industry comes from Japan, or rather the gaming industry comes from Japan, and the fact that oh, this is gonna bother me now. Was this actually?
That's true too. I mean, everything what we're enjoying now is because of Japan. Gaming. This is. I mean, we had the Atari 2600, but mainstream gaming, we can thank Nintendo for that.
Yeah. Yep.
We wouldn't be playing an Xbox, a PlayStation, or goddamn anything if it wasn't for the 8-bit Nintendo, period.
I need to find it because, oh, here we go. No, this, here's the comment. I'm gonna mention this with the Senpai Noticed You a bit too. So this is a really good comment. This is from Daniel Pang. So... You know, he said, the Western video game industry, namely the American one, drove itself into the ground once before, and may still do so again. And as someone who doesn't live in a Western country, the entire debate is just insane. And he said, let me see. You know, we were just mad that Western developers made buggy games, shit games, and broken software to be patched later. You know, and let me see, and the problem was that the Japanese developers chased after this type of stuff, and you know, and they failed because they thought that, you know, people wanted Japanese developers to make Western games, and they don't. They want Japanese games. So You know, Japanese developers are waking up to this fact, you know, and they're seeing stuff like the Clannad Kickstarter getting tons of money, and they're like, you know.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that too, back, what was that, like the beginning of the PS3 era, where you'd get things like Quantum Break, and or Quantum Theory, or whatever the hell that game was, where they tried to recreate Gears of War. There seemed to be this idea that, oh, well, you don't like Japanese games? Well, we'll try to be more Western. I think now, with this, especially with the success of JRPGs on Steam, a lot of these companies are realizing that, shit, people actually want to play Japanese-style games.
Yeah,
the thing is, we never stopped wanting to play them. It's just that the people who control the gatekeepers of the hobby, where a lot of these young kids who came up who... And I'm not dissing Halo, I'm not dissing Call of Duty, I actually play those games, but they're people that grew up on those, and everything else was considered gay. Oh, you play Atelier, you play this? Oh, yeah, that's gay. We don't want that, that's gay.
No, you're right. And seeing a lot of these writers who have come to prominence... I think a lot of them are actually the same age as us, if not younger, you know, and it's kind of scary because they go into the LA, San Fran area and, you know, and they just start drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, just shaming games that they don't agree with and raising up games on a pedestal that they do. So, I don't know. It's really disheartening. So,
yeah, and you're never gonna see people that really like JRPGs in mainstream coverage. It's just not gonna happen.
Yep.
No, you're right. I remember I saw a review for I believe Demon Gaze from Colin Moriarty from IGN actually, and I respect him as a writer and as a And like his opinion on stuff, you know, like he's one of the few writers, gaming personas out there that I actually respect, like not unquestionably, but you know, I feel like he has a very even head on his shoulders, you know, like he's a reasonable person, but he reviewed the game, and let me just double check. I think it was Demon Gaze. And said that there was like too much filler or something, and I was like, "What? Like, I haven't even played the game yet."
By filler, what does he mean by filler? I imagine by filler he means what? If he means too many scenes or non gaming sections of the game, that's not true. I mean, there are points in the game where you do talk to characters within the mansion, but it's very short and it's not. You might spend like maybe 2 minutes in dialogue and bam, you're right out in the dungeon again.
Hold on, I think it was actually Monster Mon Piece. Yeah. Pretty sure this was the game actually. Let me see. I think this
okay,
is one.
Thankfully, because if someone talks shit about Demon Gaze, it's going down.
Well, yeah, Monster Mon Piece. He gave it like a 5. And he said that it's surrounded by too much drivel. It's an interesting card game at its core, but he said everything around it is just not up to snuff. It's like a boring cast of characters, boring dialogue, bland environment, questionable upgrade systems. So that's, I mean, you know, I think I'm pretty sure we gave that like a 7 or an 8. You know, and you know, and I think Gulmer reviewed it, and I'm pretty sure that he was pretty like pleased with the artwork. You know, so
I think the artwork is probably why the guy didn't like it.
Yeah, I get that feeling too, because you know, going from previous. Like podcasts that I've listened to him on and stuff like that, you know, it's pretty clear that, you know, he's not into Japanese games that much. At least, you know, he's maybe into older Japanese games, like JRPGs and stuff like that, but not the new ones. So, this is embarrassing. I'm trying to look up the review real quick, and I'm getting non-stop database errors. This is just sad. I'm trying to bring up the review. Whatever. The whole thing with the
JRPG. Thank you, Bluehost.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking ridiculous. Here we go, finally. Right now we're having issues with Bluehost. We're moving to another host because it's ridiculous that we're dealing with this bullshit, so. It was actually Brandon Wright that reviewed it. He gave it an 8. Yep. Yeah. So, I remember he enjoyed it, you know. But the thing is, Brandon, people who don't know him, he's a big card game player. Like, he loves card games, both video games and actual tabletop card games, whether it be Magic or whatever. So he loves those kinds of games. So it would make sense that he would eat this kind of game up. But still, he was able to intelligently play the game and address the core systems and stuff like that and break it down. Looking at his review here, and that's why I think is unfair, because a lot of these games, they throw the game at somebody who just, who just doesn't know about these games. And I'm not saying that, JRPGs should require, prior knowledge to play them. That's kind of inhibiting to the genre. But, for somebody to just jump in, never played one before, and then they get angry because they don't like it. I mean, isn't that kind of like what trying anything new is like? Like, if you try something new and you don't like it at first, maybe it's because you're just not used to it, or maybe you just don't like it, and that's fine, right? Like, is that a bad thing? Like, for you to not like something?
Right. The thing I...
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, the thing that's important, I think, is important when reviewing games is that you have to go into it with an open mind. When you're reviewing a game, it's not really whether you like it, it's whether the game accomplishes what it's trying to do. I don't know, that's how I go into a review.
I think you're right, dude. I think a lot of people are just, and it's depressing, they're just losing that concept, like they like, you get this sense of entitlement, and it's just baffling to me, I just can't understand it. You get these morons, these people, and we all know who they are, and they just don't, if they just can't understand that something is just not made for them, and I don't understand where this like schism happened when people stopped understanding that not everything is made for them, not everything is designed for them. That stopped at some point, and people just became these fucking entitled babies, and then all like, they expect everything to be catered to them, everything, I mean, like, do we get mad that there's I don't know. Like, there's the Kim Kardashian game that's making $1 billion that's pretty much targeted towards women? No. Who the fuck cares, Like, who cares?
I think it's because those people forget there is a niche out there. You're going to have games that, and that's natural. I mean, you're going to have that little 1% floating around somewhere, and that's for people who enjoy that type of game. Not every game is going to conform to what you want it to be. I mean, there's always going to be a few things outside the norm, and that's good, because variety is a good thing. That's sort of like kind of what we're fighting for in this whole movement, is that you know, all games shouldn't conform to fit one style. I mean, it should fit everybody's style. That's the whole point.
Yeah, man. I think, I don't know, like, with Gamergate, you know, it's still going on, and, you know, and people look to us as one of the last pro-Gamergate, I don't know what you'd want to call it, like face of gamers, something like that, you know, and I feel like, you know, we are still very much so pro-Gamergate, but I feel like, you know, obviously we're against corruption, you know, obviously we're against collusion and stuff like that, but I feel like the censorship and the push towards everything being inclusive, I think that's a bigger issue that we're definitely more passionate towards. So
agreed.
I mean, our website stands for variety and diversity in games. That's like the first and foremost thing, you know, and these very specialized, very, you know, niche games. And, you know, so the antithesis to us would be like a homogenous future of games where everything is the same, everything has the same type of characters, everything has the same type of story. That's what we stand vehemently against, right? I mean, it's, and a lot of people don't realize that. They, you know, they think that we're just trying to fight against censorship of tits and dongs and stuff, but no, it's not just that, you know.
That's just a small tip of the boob. I mean, iceberg.
Yeah. Ha. Yeah, I mean, it's a very well-known problem, and I think it's a storm that gaming has to endure. And then once we do, you know, we'll be better for it, because, you know, the same thing happened to in different forms of fiction and books, and the same thing happened to comic books, and, you know, before that, maybe after, I don't know, it's kind of hard to, because it's such a big thing, but, you know, the movies, you know, same thing, and people try to tokenize movies and politicize them, and, you know, and you just give a big middle finger and say, I'm going to make another fucking movie with giant robots fighting each other, you know, who cares, screw you, you know, and, you know, it's just ironic, because I used to be so against, like blockbuster games because of the, you know, not so much because of the website, because, you know, I get burned out by them, but, you know, but they have every right to exist alongside the most obscure indie, like Papers, well, Papers, Please is more well-known, but stuff like that, like really, really, niche experiences, you know, it's like, oh, wow, it's totally different, you know, like that game that was kickstarted where you, like, and I'm not trying to make fun of it, I'm not making this up, you play as, like a fucking a housekeeper in a South American dictator's house. Like, that's it. Like, that's like the whole game.
I remember that.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, you discover notes and you piece together. And I'm like, you know, like, I understand what they're going for, you know, but it just sounds so dumb. Like, it's, to me, the games I'm into, like, it just sounds so, it's like Gone Home, Latino edition, you know, like, that's what it sounds like to me, you know, and, like, don't get me wrong, I love Latin culture, I totally respect Latin culture, and, you know, and there's a lot of horrible stuff that happened with dictators and stuff like that, you know, but, you know, that kind of game just doesn't appeal to me. Should it exist? Yes, it should definitely exist, you know, but I don't get these people put up on a pedestal, and they're like, and, you know, and they're like freaking out, and, like, you know, they're sitting there, and they're, you know, and they're just losing it, you know, like, oh my god, it's so original, it's so unique, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, and I'm like, who, really?
That's actually, the thing is, those kinds of games, they aren't really all that great. stuff like Gone Home, it basically reminds me of what a teenager would write in high school for an English, you know, story or something. It's bizarre. Excuse me. It's bizarre to me that, you know, it's lauded like this. It's just not a very good game. Same goes for pretty much all of these walking simulators. They aren't good games. They aren't good stories, and yet everyone is lauding them. It's just ridiculous. I hope we get over this phase in the next 5 years, hopefully.
You know why they're treated so well? It's because they deal with sexuality issues. And as soon as one of these little hipster games deals with some kind of sexuality issue, like gay acceptance or transsexualism or whatever, then all these people are like, oh, it's so breathtaking, it's so refreshing, it's so poignant, it's so deep. But what about other Japanese games that have done it? Because there's been plenty of Japanese games that have. And I mentioned before that Persona 4, you know, there's two characters in there that kind of have gender identity issues. So why don't they pick that game out? It's only whatever makes their movement look better. Then they rally behind that game and say, oh, look how deep and how meaningful it is.
You know, I won't say what game or what developer, but it's a developer that a lot of people just fucking hate. Like, they just hate them so much now for basically, let's be honest, selling out with their latest games. And these are big multi-million dollar games, and they're lauded as being very progressive. And I have friends in the industry.
It's Bioware.
I was going to say that. I said that off of the microphone. Yeah.
Let's say that I didn't say that. And I have friends in the biz who, you know, who tell me...
You didn't.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, and I have friends in the biz and stuff who are developers who tell me these little fun nuggets of truth, you know, that they red pill me. And of course, I don't tell anybody. So this developer who will remain unnamed, is apparently just milking it. They're just milking the cash cow for what it's worth before, this whole progressivism movement is just dies out because of how hateful and bigoted and how disgusting it is, because it's, let's be honest, it's just trash. It's just disgusting. And, you know, and meanwhile, the developers themselves are just laughing their balls off as they walk to the bank to get paid. Because, let's be honest here, most developers, actually, I should rephrase that. Any developer worth their what's the phrase, like grain of salt, I don't know, whatever. They just care about making a good game that can sell. That's it. You know, a good game, quote-unquote, good game. You know, all this faux progressivism bullshit, they could give two flying fucks about that. You know, and I'll just leave it at that. And meanwhile, they're selling. Oh, yeah, they're selling. You know, and I've talked to social justice crusaders and special snowflakes. I've talked to people in person about this kind of stuff. And they put this company and other companies like them up on a pedestal so high, you know, they're like, oh, I can't believe the writing is so ingenious, and they tackle such adult subjects and in such good ways, and you know.
You know, let me say something right now. I know you're not talking about BioWare, but as a PC guy who had some of the most enlightening experiences of his gaming life sitting behind a monitor playing Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale and KOTOR, I am so fucking pissed that BioWare has become such a pussy company. And I'm gonna say it now. They are a pussy company. You can mark that down next to my name as that being officially quoted by Carl Batchelor. BioWare used to be great. I mean, a lot of people bitch about Baldur's Gate now, and there's like this rewriting of history where they say, well, it really wasn't that good. Yeah, it was that good. For a D&D nerd like me who had been playing D&D for about a good 10, 12 years before that game came out, it was so nice for that game because it brought D&D back into the spotlight. It brought PC gaming back into the spotlight. It brought PC RPGs back into the spotlight. It completely changed the industry. They made such a wonderful series of games for the longest time. And then something happened after Dragon Age Origins, which was their last good game. After that, they just went full-blown fucking retard. And as the years have gone by, they've gone more and more retard. BioWare is now to the point where I would not buy a game from them even if you offered me money. If you had a copy of Dragon Age Inquisition and were going to give it to me along with a $100 bill and told me to play it, I'd say to fuck off. Because that company is not the company that the doctors founded. That is a disgrace. They are disgraceful, and anyone playing those fucking games is disgraceful. There. I'm done.
Wow, so,
Carl, I think we know what happened. They got bought out by EA. And, the moment I lost respect for them was when Dragon Age 2 came out, and pretty much everybody panned it. And EA released a statement saying that the only reason people hate it is because they're homophobes. That's the moment I lost all respect for EA and BioWare.
And Jennifer Hamburger Helper, Jennifer Hepler, she was the first one who started this thing with, oh, the community is attacking me. She's such a horrible writer. She's the one responsible for this shit-tastic plot in Dragon Age 2, by the way. And then everybody panned the game, and she goes on the forums to say, people are harassing me because they don't like my story. I'm going to have to quit and go into hiding and buy a dog and get curtains now. No, honey, people don't hate you. They hate the fact that you can't write. You write for shit. That's why, honey.
Oh, man. Let's,
don't even get me started, because Dragon Age 2 was one of... It really was, and I know people will laugh and say, you're a 38-year-old man who's had a life, why are you saying this? But you know what? Dragon Age 2 was the biggest fucking disappointment of my entire life. And I've had a lot of disappointments in my life, and that was the biggest disappointment, the biggest betrayal of my entire life, and I will never, as long as I live, fucking forget that.
Hmm. Well, let's wrap it up on a,
Sorry, but it's something I take very serious.
No, it's why I, you know, it's why I'm proud to have you, you know, on the staff, you know, it's, that's why all of us are here. We're this passionate about the website, so, you know, and about gaming in general, so... I think this has been a pretty fun show. I think we're starting to slowly get into a into like a rhythm with this kind of thing, you know. So a couple things. So the Mika design for December should be finished soon. I promise it's going to be finished. And then we're migrating to a new server, which is going to be a lot better for us. So please, you know, I know the database errors are happening still. It's retarded. Blame it on Bluehost. They're a bunch of assholes. They won't help us. So we're going to be on a new, bigger, better server. And we'll be having a new theme soon we're going to relaunch with. And that's going to eliminate these stupid problems. Trying to think of what else. We're trying to bring on some more writers too to help with some more coverage and stuff. I have like a ton of emails I have to get through with people who want to write for the site, and the problem is I don't want us to have like 30 writers and people only write like once a week or like once every 2 weeks and, you know, stuff like that. I want us to have a core dedicated group of people who really believe in the site, you know, people who we can interact with the community, and you know, and you can go to us, you know, to talk about this stuff, You know, instead of somebody who's just kind of doing it, you know, half-heartedly, and you can see it, you know, in the writing and in how they believe in the site and stuff, and I feel like the core group of people that's here, you know, Cody isn't here, he's also like a core person on the staff, you know, everybody else that's on our staff right now, I feel like they're all pretty dedicated, you know, they're pretty, they believe in the site, you know, and we're trying to make this into the real deal, so please stick it out with us. We're gonna move to this new server, we're gonna have a way better theme. You guys are gonna love it, in my opinion. It's gonna be the foundation for, you know, for the Niche Gamer Nation moving forward. You know, it's gonna make sense with Mika and what we cover, and you know, and we're gonna add stuff to that moving forward, you know, more features and stuff, so it's gonna be pretty cool. So anyway,
you know what I think you should do one day, if you ever make enough money with this, I think you should have a line of Mika plushies.
Oh yeah, that's totally stuff I've been talking to people about, having figurines and stuff commissioned, a lot of really fun stuff. I feel like
it doesn't have to be big. She could be like, maybe, you know, like a little 3-4 inch plushie, just something I could like hang from my rear view mirror in my car.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly, something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely stuff we're looking at. It's going to be really awesome, because that's the kind of stuff that we're going to be doing, you know. This is not just a gaming news blog, you know, like a lot of our competitors, that's all they do. It's just gaming news. And that's it. You know, we're not stopping there. Like, we want this to be something real, something special, and something unique, you know? And it's going to start with this being a small company, you know, and I have lots of these plans laid out, and we're going to grow it. You know, we're going to grow it, we're going to have a lot of cool stuff, and it's going to be really fun, you know, and it's not going to change us. You know, as writers, it's not going to change the coverage. We're not going to sell out and drink the SJW Kool-Aid. You know, we're going to still be the same group of writers and people at this site. We're just going to have more resources. We're going to have more content, and it's going to be a lot more fun. So you guys have been incredible for all of 2014 and even 2013. You know, since the beginnings. So I think 2015 is going to be an incredible year for us. You know, there's going to be a lot of fun stuff happening, and can't mention everything because of, you know, legality and things like that. So there's going to be some really incredible stuff happening in October, I believe. That's when that thing is going down. I have to talk to the board director on it, and we'll start finalizing things, and you'll be seeing something really insane. Like, trust me, I still can't believe it's happening, but these guys know what I'm talking about. Here, I'll just type it in the chat real quick and see so you can hear the reactions. So there you go, like, you know, that's gonna happen, like, that is happening, you know.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so, like, that's happening, you know, and I have to talk to the one board director about that, and that's gonna be insane. Like, so people, not only fans, but industry people are going to us, you know, as a source of knowledge and coverage of these games. So that's a big deal, you know. So the more we get this stuff, the more we grow, you know, the more stuff we'll be able to do. So please keep supporting us. You know, we're going to keep doing this. It's going to be an incredible year. I promise you guys that. So tell your friends about us. Tell your family. You know, maybe not so much about the articles with tits and stuff. That's fine. I understand that. But, you know,
You know what's funny? My wife has been telling everyone about the website, I don't know why all of a sudden she started doing this. And when we were at my her in-laws a few days ago, she has two cousins who are around my age. She told them about it. And I said, well, what's the site about? And I was describing how it's about imports, Japanese games, stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, I don't... And the one guy said, I don't know of any websites that do that. That's really neat that you guys cover those games. So I'm just thinking, like... You know, it's funny because when you think about it, some of those sites like Destructoid, Kotaku, Silicon Era started out to be what we're doing, but they've floated so far away from it that that need is still there. And I think that's what's so great about Niche Gamer is we fill that need, at least somewhat.
Yeah, I really agree. I hate to cut it off, but I've got a lot of daddy stuff to do today. So for those who don't know, you know, most of us do this alongside day jobs, family, everything else. So, you know, we're doing this for free, which is crazy. You know, all the money goes into development of the website at this point. So, and new Mika designs, but still, it's the same thing in my opinion. So please consider supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/nichegamer. If you don't want to do an ongoing thing, go to our donate button. There's a whole thing with the PayPal and stuff. So you know, even a dollar, you know, it helps, you know. And we're going to keep doing this regardless. So, you know, so please keep supporting us. We'll keep doing this. And let's have an awesome 2015, huh? Let's keep doing this. So thank you, guys, and we'll see you next week.